From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, June 16th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how the Black community often has mixed feelings on the meaning of Juneteenth, which was declared a federal holiday in 2021. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. If you want to challenge the constitutionality of an Illinois state law, you'll now have to do so in either Cook or Sangamon County. Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a law limiting constitutional challenges to those two counties. Republican State Representative Patrick Windhorst, during debate, said that places an undue burden on people who don't live in those areas. He lives in a county where people can no longer file a challenge.
This is going to have a much bigger impact on individuals in our various communities who want to get justice in their local community, rather than having to travel to Springfield or Chicago to get that justice.
The idea surfaced after challenges to the state's assault-style weapons bans were filed and were ultimately successful in Macon and Effingham counties. Proponents said this streamlines operations for Illinois Attorney General's office, which has locations in Chicago and Springfield. Regenerative agriculture is a movement that takes a conservation approach to farming with practices that are often influenced by indigenous knowledge. Harvest Public Media's Eva Tesfai reports on how indigenous farmers of the Midwest are sharing these practices.
The Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska received funding from the USDA to start a new project called the Center for Excellence in Regenerative Native Agriculture, CERNA for short. The program will welcome a cohort of farmers from around the region, both native and non-native. The tribe is hoping to influence farmers who live nearby, partly to prevent the nitrate pollution of their waters, says the tribe's chairman, Timothy Rod.
If we find ways through CERNA to change the practices and the mindsets of these producers and re-educate those folks, we can have better water.
The USDA says that projects like these are forwarding climate goals of the Biden-Harris administration and upholding the department's commitment to tribes. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Eva Tesfai.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. After shootings and car crashes at a pop-up party on Sunday left 9 injured, Champaign considers how to prevent future violence. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Neighbors gathered at the Douglas Annex yesterday to discuss violence at parties that pop up after bars close. Some wanted curfews and security cameras. Middle school teacher Rhonda Harris suggested the city host its own safe versions with police and chaperones.
We can have a controlled area like the Soma's parking lot where all the food trucks gather from 2 to 3:30 in the morning. And we feed everybody before we send them home.
Shootings in the city have decreased 70% compared to this time last year. Those involved say it's because the city invested heavily in a plan that includes reentry programs for the formerly incarcerated, tip services, and more. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Monday's Juneteenth holiday is a time when many celebrate the emancipation of enslaved people after the Civil War. But some in the Black community feel that the designation of Juneteenth as a federal and state holiday has caused it to lose some of its weight. University of Illinois African American Studies Professor Sundiata Chajua says that since those designations, the holiday has grown too commercialized.
We fought to open up space for ourselves, but we wanted to control whatever occurs within that space. And in this instance, we've lost control.
Chajua encourages people to stay away from Juneteenth-themed merchandise, and he says anyone celebrating should remember what freedom meant to the people being emancipated. Still to come, we'll learn more about how members of the Black community feel about Juneteenth, which was declared a federal holiday in 2021. That story is next on 217 Today.
In the fourth season of the Great Performances series, Now Hear This, celebrated violinist and conductor Scott Yu explores the secret history of some of the world's finest music. In the new season, Yu travels to Buenos Aires, Brooklyn, Granada, and Leipzig to investigate the mystery and histories of works by Schumann, Albéniz, Andy Akiho, and more. Learn how you can watch this and other great performances as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
Juneteenth commemorates the day in 1865 when enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, found out they'd been freed under the Emancipation Proclamation. It was declared a federal holiday in 2021, but as Illinois Newsroom's Owen Henderson reports, some in the Black community have mixed feelings about what that means.
Professor Sundiata Chajua teaches history and African American studies at the University of Illinois. You describe yourself as a Black scholar activist. Has the federal designation changed the way the Black community perceives and talks about Juneteenth?
For those of us who are politically engaged, meaning those of us who fought for Juneteenth, who have been celebrating Juneteenth for decades, the federal designation brings with it a lot of problems. The main problem is that it is beginning to look like an American holiday, which is to say that it's really just a day for capitalists to make money. So when people talk about Juneteenth, the thing that they don't do is ask the question, what did emancipation mean to the freed people? For those of us who put that question primary, we are ambivalent or hostile to the federal designation because it takes it out of the hands of Black communities.
I wanted to ask you about an op-ed you wrote last year for the News Gazette. In it, you called for people to reject what you called the commercialization of Juneteenth. I'm part of the queer community, and every June when Pride rolls around, there are also conversations around what some people call the corporatization of Pride. Are the conversations similar in the Black community?
I'm glad you said that, because that's precisely the point. Each of the groups that have been oppressed in this society and continue to be oppressed, we fought to open up space for ourselves, but we wanted to control whatever occurs within that space. And in this instance, we've lost control. Now, those of us who are in radical organizations, we continue to celebrate without any involvement of the city, park districts, or any of those entities, because we're focused on using Juneteenth, which speaks to the abolition of enslavement, for us to talk about future liberation.
So how do you balance the push and pull of, you know, we want people to know and recognize the importance of this day and commercialization can bring that recognition versus we don't want this holiday to lose its meaning in commercialization?
I think that there's a third element to the tension that you're speaking to, right? The commercialization is one, but governmental control, white American control, is another factor, right? In terms of the commercialization, all we can do is denounce it and encourage people not to participate in buying Juneteenth paraphernalia produced by corporate capitalists. But in terms of governmental control of those celebrations, that's where we can have an impact. We simply have to reject them and oppose them and continue to do what we've always done in terms of our celebration. The other thing that we have to do is that we have to fight to control the narrative of Juneteenth.
Tell me more about what you mean by that.
The governmental response is to speak to Juneteenth as something that's done. It's a past event. We see it as part of a continuum. It's an effort at recovering a set of politics and culture in the Black community. But what we try and push is this. What did emancipation mean to the people who were freed from slavery? And we think that if we talk enough about that, we make it clear that we're dealing with unfinished business.
Professor Sundiata Chajua teaches history and African American studies at the University of Illinois. I'm Owen Henderson, Illinois Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 79 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Eva Tesfai, Emily Hayes, and Owen Henderson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.